Good morning. We're glad to see each one of you, and if you're visiting with us, we're glad to have you, and we'd like for you to fill out a visitor's card if you will. Am I correct on assuming that the teachers' meeting is a repeat in here? I don't know. Okay, so we do not have a teachers' meeting at 12:15, but we have a deacons' meeting at 12:15. And on Monday at 7, we have a trustee meeting. Tuesday at 7 is WMU. Wednesday is our regular Wednesday night services. And I hate to have to tell y'all this, but next Saturday, you got to turn your clock up if you don't want to be late for church. I'm sorry, we have to do that. They're going to be having a meeting concerning summer camp on March the 16th, so mark that if you're one of the parents that you need to be there with them. Okay. And we're starting our week of prayer for North American missions in the month of March. We have a goal of $6,000, and 100% of the money goes to the mission field. So you have a prayer guide and an envelope in your bulletin, so pay attention to that this week. And if you write a check, make it payable to the church, and the church will make sure it all gets to the right place. We do have a little insert concerning the Operation Christmas Child shoeboxes, little things you can get to go in that for the month of March. At this time, we'll have our North American missions video.
These might be some of the greatest stories ever told, which is why we might just have the best job in North America. We get to tell stories about missionaries in the U.S. and Canada, stories that are so powerful and so amazing, we feel humbled to even be here doing this. Like, did you hear the story about the Marine sniper who's planting a church? Or the one about the missionaries who started a laundromat just so they could meet a need and tell their neighbors about Jesus? Or how about the church planter in Wyoming, who's discipling new believers, then sending them out as circuit riders to tiny unreached towns all over the state? People call these missionary stories, and that makes sense. I mean, the missionaries are the ones serving on the field, and they're the ones on camera. But there's another main character in each of these stories you really can't see, not unless you look in a mirror. You might not realize it, but your faithful prayers and your generosity to the Annie Armstrong Easter offering, that's where the fuel and the encouragement for these missionaries comes from. I mean, God is taking your prayers and gifts and planting this missionary family in a neighborhood where they can go into all the world without ever leaving their house. He's sending this missionary into what might be the most unreached community in all of North America. He even showed this couple how to turn a border town into a missions training center. Your support makes you a main character in every one of these stories. Stories of how God is building His kingdom. He's using thousands of missionaries, some you'll hear about, most you'll never even know. And He's using you. Together, we're sharing the gospel, the greatest story ever told, with people who need to hear. Together, we're stepping into the story.
Sunday morning for us is a little bit different than most churches. Lots of people that help me with Sunday morning setup have a very unique day job. We have snipers, we have amphibious assault. It's different, that's for sure. My name is Joshua, and this is Brittany Brown, and we are church planting in Sneed's Ferry, North Carolina, next to Marine Corps Base Camp Lejeune.
One thing we experienced moving around for 20 years in the military is there is a huge need within our country for our military members to hear the gospel.
And The people that come to Camp Lejeune, we have not just military, but like military special operations. These people are incredible. And if the gospel is infused here, these incredible people can bring that message with them everywhere. Like that guy right there, now getting ready to be sent out of Pillar Church of Topsail to plant Pillar Church of Fayetteville.
I was an active duty Marine, and my experience of it was dark. And those people need the gospel. So who's doing that, right? Who's giving the gospel to these people?
They're only gonna be around for a few years and then move on to the next duty station. So pray for us that we would be able to create a hub, a gospel presence that trains, teaches, equips, and sends out members of the military and their families to go and spread the gospel to all over the world from here.
Our words to our next song are on the screen, so let's all stand and sing, "I'll Fly Away."
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, it's a beautiful day as we've been having. I can see spring right around the corner.
Amen.
Go with me with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, the day that you made, a beautiful day. Well, Hot Father, we thank you for the movement that we've been seeing, the Gather 25, the movement around the colleges, the movement around the young people. Father, we pray for revival. Father, we ask that you be with Pastor Greg now as he brings us our message. Let us take it to our heart and spread it. Father, thank you most of all for your Son, Jesus Christ. In his precious name, amen.
Thank you. I'll fly away. Wouldn't it be great if God, Jesus, just broke through the clouds and called us home right now to fly away? Amen. I was thinking, watching Gathering 25, just seeing the different nations, the different countries, the different faces. I mean, it was a different language. You had to have an interpreter. But what struck me is I've seen those same faces gathered in worship. Their faces were just like ours, praising God, glorifying God, giving Him the glory. And it made me think, what is heaven going to be like when we're all gathered together, when we're all in His heavenly kingdom, praising Him, giving Him glory, separated by no language other than the language of God's love and His glory? That'd be so amazing. That's what we have to look forward to, each and every one of us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, our Heavenly Father, we just do thank You for this glorious day, Father. We thank You for the privilege that You chose us, that You loved us so much, You sent Your Son, Father, that we may be restored to fellowship with You, Father, through His blood, through His sacrifice, the forgiveness of our sins, Father, and the justification that has been raised from the grave, Father. The atonement has been paid for our sins, Father, through Your Son. And it's through that the veil has been torn, and we have direct access to just praise and glorify You, Father. We thank You for that precious privilege. Father, we pray for Pastor Greg during this worship hour that his message will open our hearts, that Your word will penetrate our souls, Father. And Father, just show us Your love, show us Your spirit, just provide for us and care for us, Father. We thank You so much, for it's in Your holy name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Let's turn to hymn number 10, How Great Thou Art.
I see.
each other as the children come for the children's song.
Good morning, boys and girls.
Good morning.
How are we doing?
Good.
Good? Great. All right. Isn't it a pretty day? Well, I brought something, as I usually do. Do you know what that is?
A stamper.
A stamper?
I know what it is.
What is that?
It's like a boy puts something hot on it and then just put it on something.
Yeah, it's called a, yeah. Yeah, a brand. Okay. So you do. You're right. You put that in really hot fire and you let it get so hot that this steel becomes red. I mean, when you pull it out, it's red. And then you put it onto a cow or horse or whatever.
Or maybe.
So the ranchers would brand their cattle so that if they got lost or stolen, they could identify their livestock because their livestock's really valuable to them.
Guess what? On YouTube. Guess what I found?
What'd you
Someone
find?
Put a thing on 14 on a sheep, and then he just start running.
Yeah, they'll number them, okay? Because like I said, they're valuable to them. They don't want to lose them. So I've got a couple examples of some real brands here. See if you can figure out the meaning, okay? So here's the first one.
Happy?
It does look like a smiley face, doesn't it?
I was about to say happy homes.
Yeah. It's Rockin' H. It's like on a rocking chair bottom. So Rockin' H. So that's what that brand means.
It looks like a rocking.
What about that one? That one's a little bit maybe easier.
I know that one.
Think of the shape.
Diamond J.
Diamond J. Yay. Good. All right. Oh, what about, okay.
That looks like a K.
It does look like a K, but something's wrong with the K.
K-slash.
Yeah, that's a good guess.
Like a
I know.
It's kind of a weird, this one's a little bit harder.
Okay.
It's a broken K. So that's what you become when you have a lot of livestock. You become broken, okay? And then that one. This
that
is a family.
That looks like a upside down and
yeah.
Another A upside down.
So what do you call when you get two? I just about say.
Six?
Double A, okay?
Double A.
Good job. Okay, but that's how the ranchers would identify their livestock.
Do you know that
when you get saved and you become a child of God that he brands you? Did you know that?
No.
Okay. Well, 2 Corinthians 1:22 says, it tells us that God has put his seal of ownership on us and put his spirit in our hearts. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I'm glad he brands our hearts and not our hips. Right? All right. So I got one last question for you, and then we'll wrap it up. If we become a child of God and we are branded with his seal, and we go astray or we get lost, do you think he cares? Do you think he comes looking for us like that rancher would his livestock?
No.
Yeah.
No.
He's going to come looking for us. You know what? He's going to come looking for us, and when he finds us, you know what happens in heaven? They celebrate. They rejoice. They're like partying. They're like, yay, he's found. They found him. They found him. Okay? If you go astray or you become lost, because sometimes we do that. Sometimes we get up with the wrong friends and we start acting, you know, a different way and living a different type of life. God's going to come find us. And he's going to pull us back. He's going to bring us back home. Isn't that a joyful feeling?
Yeah.
To know that it's like, God don't look at us like, you know what? They become so bad, I'm done with them. God will never say that.
No, he'll say you're going back home.
Home. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Guess
okay.
What?
So, anyway, the Bible does say that he will search for us until he finds us. Okay. So, does anyone want to say a prayer?
Me.
Okay. You know what? This is my favorite part. You guys have done an awesome job. We'll just pass it around, okay?
Dear God, thank you for all these boys and girls. Let us thank you, and let my dad smoke is cat dad let's let us pray for him. So if we find him, please be this good, and let us just have a great, beautiful day, and just pray for everyone, and just pray for their friends, and then just put your arms around them, and just feel how they feel on you, and then just pray for Jesus. Amen.
Dear Jesus, thank you for all these kids and girls. Thank you for all these people and girls for coming to church. Pray for all these people and pray for my dad to come back because I love him. And I'll pray over my dad every night because I love him. Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. I pray that thank you for all these boys and girls coming here at church. I pray that they get home safely in Jesus' name. Amen.
Dear Lord, I pray that all these boys and girls get home safely and that they feel better and that no one's sick or hurt in Jesus' name. Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. I pray that for all these boys and girls, they get home safely and that they have a good of the rest of their day and a good time at church. In Jesus' name, amen.
And all of God's children said, amen.
Good morning. What a great week this has been, and what a great way to begin the month of March. Amen. You know, we've had warm, sunny days. A little hard to tell this morning, but it's been nice and warm and sunny this week after the previous week's cold spell. And as I said last week, it's North Carolina weather, and it has something for everyone. So now us warmer weather folks can have something to be happy about too. As we love to say so often, God is good and so good to his children, amen, even in the weather. And we ought to feel spoiled most of the time in light of the blessings God extends towards us. What a loving heavenly Father he is. Thinking about a lot of the things that's happened this week, the Gather 25, again, it's been mentioned, but what a blessed, sweet, wonderful thing to know that Christians all over the world united, gathered, in worship and prayer, and many, many, many good things are going to come from this. I always love the fellowship that we enjoy on Sunday mornings. We were able to gather together and do what Baptists do best and gather around the table this morning for fellowship over breakfast. I believe with all my heart when God's people pray together and eat together, we are always going to be closer together. And so I love that. I love the faces coming out of our. We have a wonderful Sunday school, and I love to see the faces of folks coming out. They're already excited and energized by what's been shared. So we're grateful to have that here, that blessing of Sunday school. All right, sometime back, there was a song. Some of you know it. It was called How Great Is Our God. And we love to say that, and we love to sing it. I'm sure we've all sang that one or something with a similar message. We sang this morning, How Great Thou Art. Same idea, same message. We often say it in praise in response to some wonderful blessing that we receive from the Lord. Something like, I'm healed. How great is our God? Or I couldn't figure out how to pay my bills and God made a way. How great is our God? I graduated. How great is our God? I remember some years back probably saying I survived another week of youth camp. How great is our God? Some of y'all that's been chaperones know what I'm talking about. Amen, Rodney. Yeah, it gets to be an interesting week when you do that. But you get the point, I'm sure. Likely, hopefully, we've all said it in some way, and though it's almost spoken like a question to be answered, but rather it's clearly a proclamation of our faith, trust, awe, and gratitude to the only God, our God, for his goodness towards us. Amen? Amen? I love to worship. I love to praise. I think today's such a good day for it, so let's worship and praise our God together. Especially, we do this though, especially when things are going well, but more importantly, we should praise him just as loudly in trials, for it's really then that we need him most, and it's then that our praise would be equal to a testimony. It says, I just know that although things aren't going well, I just know that God will get me through this. Amen? He's there for us. We need to realize this. I thought about something I was setting up here today. Jesus Christ, approaching his darkest hour, said, nevertheless, not thy will, my will, but thine be done, Heavenly Father. Approaching his darkest hour, was able to still look to his God and trust in his God, and we need to do the same. Amen. So we're going to look at that today. We're going to be looking at Isaiah chapter 46 today. We don't go to Isaiah that much, and we probably haven't looked at this one. If we have, it's been a long time. But we're looking at a people, even God's people, that found themselves in a very difficult situation. And so we have some questions to ask about them. Would they worship God in that time of trial? In the midst of it, would they praise him because they just knew he would get them through? Would they lift up their voices regardless of the situation and circumstances? Would they in that moment say, how great is our God? Or would they even remain faithful to him in this trial? Now, as we look at it, there were certainly a few who would fail in this, who would even turn away from him in the trial. But also, there would be that few, that faithful few, that would remain faithful. And so I hope as we look at this message today, we might learn to do just that, to remain faithful and to remain worshipful, even praiseful, if that's a word. It's a word today, praiseful, in our times of trial. Sound good? Are you with me? All right. So let's give it a go. And let me ask you again, isn't it a great day to praise God? So let's do that. I think every day is a good day for it. So turn with me to Isaiah 46. We're going to begin by looking at verses 9 and 10, but we'll cover a good bit of the chapter in other sections as we go into the message. But notice verses 9 and 10. He says this. This is God speaking. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. And he speaks this of himself, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will, remember this in the midst of your trial, I will accomplish my purpose. Amen. All right, so nothing silly today. I want us to do this together. Just take a moment to praise him and together say this, how great is our God. Yes, amen. I love to hear that. Bow with me for prayer. Father, as we bow before you today, we pray that your word will be spoken boldly, that will be heard correctly, and Lord, that we will respond in accord with your will and plan for us today, whatever you have in mind for what's to be accomplished in this service. So Lord, as we look at your word, guide us in every way. Let us hear and embrace every thought, every word, everything that you say to us today. Let it be that we would be made a better people for it. Our Father, through Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So here in this passage, again, we find the people of God in the midst of a Babylonian captivity. This would last 70 years. And this was a prophecy spoken by Isaiah about 150 years prior to what we'll even see here. It is clearly a warning to these people against the worship of idols and a reminder to continue to look to the one true God to remain faithful to him. And look, it's important for us to see that God isn't speaking to a secular world here. No, he is speaking to his own people. Now, church, we might expect those of the world to worship the things of the world, for they don't know what we know of our God. But here's God's people about to do that same thing, about to turn to the things of the world. For in this time of trial and in the face of pressure to conform to the culture of others, many of God's people were slipping into idolatry. And I want you to know that though it might look somewhat different today, we are certainly a people in the midst of a culture with a different view of our God. In fact, a culture that would likely in many cases deny our God. It's a culture that offers many options in place of God, and far too many, even among God's people, have caved into the pressure to accept one of those other options. Church, today, in the spirit of fitting in or under the concern of being called narrow-minded or religiously bigoted, in the fear of being canceled, many will concede, just as many among those of Isaiah's time called out in Isaiah's prophecy, they did the same thing. So those of Isaiah's time might have said, we're just trying to get through this. We're just trying to get through. We're just going along with the flow for now. It's easier to go along and just so we can get along and than it is to stand against it. Does that sound familiar, though? Do you see that today in this world? We sure do. And so we see that, and I worry so much about our youth and children and all the pressures that our youth and children face in regard to this thing. Just plain old-fashioned peer pressure. But church, we also have to be careful. Us older folks have to be careful of this, for sometimes the dangers are far more subtle. A slip here or a little compromise there, and we're in the same shape. It happens in the things we do, and we find it in the things we view, and make no mistake, it can happen to you. Hey, that rhymes, don't it? Free poetry for you today. Anyway, I'll move along. I worry at times if I leave you amused or just confused. I'm not sure which. Could be either way. I'd rather just have you come away enlightened. All right. So let's look at some of the earlier passages in chapter 46, beginning at the very beginning, verses 1 and 2. We're going to see the futility of the worship of idols. And so here's what it says, verse 1. The writer says, Baal bows down, Nebo stoops, their idols are on the backs of beasts and livestock. These things you carry are borne as burdens on weary beasts. They stoop, they bow down together. They cannot save the burden, but themselves go into captivity. Okay, so let's dig into this a little bit. Here we have two idols. What you've got is the sun god Baal and the son of the sun god Nebo, who's called the son of knowledge at times. These were the gods, the idols to the Babylonians. But I want you to take note here, these idols to whom Babylon looked to and called to were just as captive as they were when Cyrus came and overtook them. And so as Babylon itself was led into captivity, where were these idols? They were being brought into captivity too. And so of what value were they then to those who had trusted them? If they're in captivity with you, no good at all. And let me try to put this into perspective. I'll give you a relevant perspective today. I love junk, okay? My wife, not so much. She would like to see most of it gone. But I love to take old rusty things, seemingly of no further value, and repurpose or restore them into something once again useful. A couple of other folks over here, I won't call them out, like to do the same thing. But once in a while, I hit one. It's just junk. I can't do a thing with it. It's no value no matter what I do. I've got one of those hanging on the side of my building now that I'm just scratching my head saying, I guess it's going to be thrown away. But I hope you get where I'm going here. I don't know how large these two idols were, but I assure you they were just two big old hunks of useless. Those idols were. There was no recycle, restore, repurpose in them. They were no more than a burden to be born for no further purpose. That's what Isaiah said. In fact, they had fully failed even in their original purpose. And therefore, Babylon went into captivity helplessly and would remain hopelessly there, for their trust had been placed in those false gods, those idols. And my friends, there's nothing yet to be made by the hands of man that can save you, nor will there ever be. We live in a time when we love our gadgets and technology and the latest, the greatest, the fastest things, but that's all they are, is things. They're a temporary comfort, maybe a source of entertainment at best, and they are, just as Jesus taught in Matthew 6, merely earthly treasures subject to theft and then the inevitable destruction that awaits them all. They are of no more use than those Babylon idols were, and they will not last. And friends, we also often look to people that way. We look to people for our hope. You know, sometimes the celebrities, the sports stars, and many rightly will call them idols. You know, if you are old enough, back in the 50s, they were called teen idols, right? Teen idols. And a good way to put it, but where are they now? Where are those teen idols now? You ever watch those shows, Where Are They Now? It's scary. I feel better about myself. I said, I ain't the only one that fell apart. But where are they now? What good purpose do they serve now? You know, we often look to politicians. Each election season, we're certain that the group coming in going to fix it all, right? That's just going to be the right answer. But men and women are voted into office each election cycle, voted out at the next one, and the world is just as messed up as it ever was. They can't fix what's broke. Think about what's broke today. The root problem behind all our problems is sin and the devil, which promotes it, and they can't fix it. They can't get you out of it. They can't get you through it. These things that you go through. And I can tell you today, with all confidence, there's still only one right way to fix this, and His name is Jesus, Son of the Most Heavenly Father, our Creator God. Just look around for others, for all other answers as you like, and you won't ever find an answer till you do what? Look up. That's when you'll find the answer. Amen? And so notice then how that very thought, what I just said, is communicated in verses 3 and 4. And I believe that when you get to verses like this, it needs to be shared with enthusiasm, because this is God speaking. These words, this is God speaking. And He says, listen to me, O house of Jacob. All the remnant of Israel and all who have been born by me from before your birth, carried from the womb. He said, even to your old age, I am He, and to gray hairs I will carry you. He said, I have made you, I will bear you, and I will carry and save you. That's where you got to look. Yes, amen. Ain't no man can ever say that. Ain't no hunk of anything made by man can lay claim to such authority. It all lies with the God we serve. And look, when we see this here, God is laying it down before Israel then. And make no mistake, He's telling us today, just like He said in Jeremiah 1:5, remember that one? Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. He's saying, I was there with you from the beginning. And I will be with you to your old age. And I who made you will be with you. He said, I will carry you through your trials and I will save you. Church, all I can say in response to that is, how great is our God? How great is our God? And so why would we ever look to another? Who knows you better than the one who created you? Amen. What Mama used to say, I brung you into this world and all what? Well, God can really say it. Because we are His workmanship. And that's the God I serve. That's the God I serve. Again, ain't it a great day to worship, though, when we think about all these things? Church, I wouldn't want to be anywhere else this Sunday morning than right here. What a joyous thing. And Rodney mentioned, it's like he looked into my notes today, but what a joyous thing it would be should Jesus Christ call us up today. You know what would happen? We'd go from worship to worship, from earthly worship to heavenly worship. Like the old song says, and we sung it this morning, some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away. I'm ready for my wings. I'm done with all this mess. Heaven looks so good to me right now. And it'd be all right with me again if that was today. Okay, God, look at verse 5, and God says this as He continues to speak to this nation. He said, to whom will you liken me and make me equal? And He said, and compare me that we may be alike? Wow. I think the message of Isaiah 46 has made it clear. That is very much a rhetorical question, one that's already been answered. There is no other. There's only one true God. He is the great I am. Don't waste your time looking any further. And don't turn to the idols of the Babylonians. Don't turn to the idols that are forced upon us in this nation today. And then God gives us a look at the futility of such a search by comparing the idols of man to himself. You see this, and you'll see they only and always fail in comparison to God. Pick an idol, it's going to fail when you hold it up against God. So here's what he says here. God says this. He said, those who lavish gold from the purse and weigh out silver on the scales, they hire a goldsmith and he makes it into a god. And then the people fall down and worship it. He said, they'll lift it on their shoulders and they'll carry it around and they set it in its place and it stands, or it cannot move from its place. If one cries to it, it does not answer to save him from his child, from his troubles. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine if that was the God we worshiped? You want him over here, you have to carry him over here. Our God is with us today. He is with us, and we didn't have to bring him here. He just showed up. Amen? Amen. Friends, throughout history, man, bless his heart, has built monuments to wealth, monuments to prosperity, and all grades of materialism. He's built statues in the image of many so-called great men, and to be honest with you, sometimes not so great men, investing much in these, but of what value are they really? Like the gods of the idolatrous nations spoken of in the scripture, you transport them, you place them, and they stand there lifelessly. There's not a word going to be coming from them, neither will there be any help found in them, nor is there any hope to be gained from them. And if you're ever standing before a statue and it starts talking to you, let me know. I want to see that. Ain't going to happen. And should anybody seek after this, then it's absolutely the very definition of an exercise in futility. And this is a sin against the one true God who said very clearly, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness that is in heaven above or in the earth beneath or is in the water underneath the earth. He said, you shall not bow to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. We need to remember that. And can you imagine this nation? This is commandment number one on the list of 10 that if anybody should have known it, this nation should have known it. Praise be to God, it's still hanging in some courthouses in our nation today and even in a few schools, so we don't forget. But church, it's hard to make sense of why they would fail on such a fundamental level. And maybe it's one of those things we make old sayings about, you know, when in Rome, do as the Romans do, or if you can't beat them, join them. You think about that, and you can try all that old mess you want to, or you can do all the explaining in the world about the why of such a failure, but what you cannot do is justify this failure when God's word is so clear about this. Look, there was no uncertainty in God's command. You know, if you read this, you'll find no added clauses or exceptions. When God says you shall have no other gods, nor shall you make any other for yourselves, then that's how it is. It's simply something you don't even play with. God said what he meant, and he meant what he said, and that's good enough for me. Amen? Look at verses 8 and 9. We'll try to keep moving here. Our God also says this. He said, remember this and stand firm on this. He said, recall it to mind, you transgressors, you who failed in this, remember the things of old. How many of you missed the things of old? Anybody besides me? I missed dinner at Grandma's house. Rarely happens anymore. Once in a while, you can go to Linda Trivet's on Sunday. We're all invited, right? Just like that. I miss that. I miss dime stores and Sears stores and Western Auto stores and Radio Shack stores. I said if you could bring it back today, it would be Sears Western Shack, right? Wouldn't that work? I missed all those old things. But more so, I miss a time when I was in school, when we rode dinosaurs to school. When I was in school, everybody I knew went to church. And everybody I knew saw Sunday as something sacred, and God was honored by all. What happened to those old ways and those old days? God was trying to point these people back to some old ways and some old days, back when everything was good and they didn't have any problem praising and worshiping him and they had no thought of idols. But Isaiah 40 says this, his word endures forever. God hasn't changed his mind. He hasn't changed who he is. Neither has he changed his commandments. The things of old have not changed. And regardless of where you find yourself or what pressure you face to cave, conform, or concede, Church, stand firm in what He has commanded you already to do, the things of old that have not changed. And then he says this as verse 9 continues. This is the why of it all. Why do we do this? He says, for I am God and there is no other. Quit looking. You're not going to find it. There may be a lot of voices calling out for your attention, and they may be spouting new ideas, the latest take on what we are to do or how we are to do it. But God is still God. I talked to Him this morning. I hope you did too. And nothing has changed. And I hope His is the only voice that you will heed. For none other has done what He has done, and according to His word, none other will do what God will yet do. Amen. God is still God, and there is no other. This is what it says right in His word. Look again. Verse 9 concludes, and verse 10 begins. He said, I am God, and there's none like me, none who declares the end from the beginning. He said, even from ancient times, there are things not yet to be done. He had declared. And again, we can say, how great is our God, church? He is the one who knows the plans He has for us. And so why would you ever look elsewhere? Let me tell you like this. When I have a question, I always go to the very best source I can think of. When I have a problem, I want to take it to the one who knows better than any how to fix it. When I'm certain about my future, I want to go to the one that holds my future in His hands. And I think you get where I'm going with this. When I go a-looking, I go right to the top. That's where we need to look. Amen? He says right here, as verse 10 finishes, he says, my counsel shall stand. He says, and I will accomplish all my purpose. That's all I need to know. And all I can say is this, how great is our Lord? Amen? I'll tell you again, when I've walked with Him most of my 61 plus years, you know what? He's never failed me. He never will. And I intend to walk with Him the rest of the way. I aim to walk with Him right up to death's door. And when I get to it, I'm going to take my good leg and kick that door right off the hinges. And I'm going to keep on walking with Him right to the gates of heaven and then walk with Him throughout eternity. The one that's got me there, that's got me through, that's never let me down. And church, I hope I never lose a voice to praise Him no matter what I face. Like the psalmist said, how great is our God and greatly to be praised. Think about that. What a testimony. What a wonderful thing to do each day. Take up Psalm, that's Psalm 145:3. Circle it in your Bibles. But let's shout it together. Let's lift it up as well-earned praise to Him today. Let's do this together. How great is our God and greatly to be praised. Yes, amen. Don't you know that's joy to be heard in heaven today? That's a joy. And don't it feel good to tell Him? You know, we ought not miss a day. We ought not miss an opportunity. And even when it might be the hardest to do so, praise Him anyway. For no matter what you find yourself in or where you find yourself, just as He brought you to it, it's still God that's going to get you through it, and maybe even quicker if you keep on praising Him. Friends, I wrote this sermon, and I'll be honest with you, I wrote this in the midst of one of the darkest weeks I've had in a long time. It was a difficult week. Maybe God allowed that to test me. I don't know. It surely seems like I have to live a whole lot of the sermons I get before I get to preach them. I'm always worried one day He's going to have me preach on gunshots or something, so thank the Lord that hadn't happened. But a lot of those sermons, I live them before I preach them. But I know this, even if you don't necessarily feel like praising, you'll still feel better with praise in your hearts and praise on your lips. Amen. Just try it and you come back and let me know. So as we come to our time of invitation, I don't even know how to challenge you any different or any further than I usually do. You see, it's not me, but it's God that issues the invitation to your heart, whether that's for salvation or rededication or church membership or anything else He calls you to. And church, you have every evidence of His faithfulness to you in response to your faithfulness to Him. And sometimes in spite of the lack of faithfulness on our part, He is still that good to us. And so I just lay it before you that you'd lay it all before our great God and loving Father, that you'd approach Him through the Lord Jesus Christ. Church, I can preach to you, I can pray over you, I have, I will, and I'll continue to, but I can't respond for you. That's up to you. Our hymn of invitation is going to lay a challenge on you. It says, just as I am, because that's all He wants. You can't fix it. If you could, you wouldn't be here. Whatever you're struggling with, whenever you're struggling, just as you are, take it to the Lord. Take it to Him and trust Him in these things, whatever needs to be done today. I'm going to pray for us, and then the altar is yours to do with as you see fit. Just respond according to God's leading. Bow with me for prayer. Our Father, at the as we come into the end of this sacred hour, Lord, with whatever you would have left to be done in this service, whatever needs to be done, decisions to be made, however you've touched a heart today, if you've touched one, Lord, give them the boldness also to respond, to walk the aisle, to do what you've called them to do. Lord, it's not up to me. It's all in your hands. And Lord, in just trusting in the response of your people. So, Father, as we come to this time, have thine own way. Bring us to the altar just as we are. And our Father, through Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hymn number 307, the soft stand. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb.
So grateful that it's just as we are. No cleaning up to do, just show up. And God will take care of it. Has it been good to be in God's house today?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I want to thank, I meant to do this earlier, but thank Bambi and Andy, Jimmy and Lisa, all those that were a part of it, and I'm sure I'll miss somebody that were part of the Gather 25 that the Lord laid that burden on their heart, and they were faithful to pursue it so that many of us would have the opportunity to witness some of that and benefit from it. So we're grateful for them and continue to pray that the revival that has begun a couple of years ago really will continue throughout the college campuses, throughout the many churches, even here. There's so much left to be done as we draw nearer to the end. So continue to look for those opportunities. I'll tell you this, you will meet somebody today in whatever restaurant you go to, or Walmart, or Sears Western Shack, if that's where you go today. Wherever you end up, there's going to be somebody that's struggling with something, somebody that's looking for an answer, and somebody that, if you're not careful, if we don't share Jesus with them, they'll look in the wrong direction. That's why we're here. That's why God will tell you, run to Walmart for that jug of milk you forgot yesterday. You forgot it intentionally so you'd be back today, so you'd speak to that person that needs to know the name of Jesus. Be bold to share it. I'll share what I said last week. If you confess me before man, Jesus said, I will confess you before the Father. And I love the idea that my name, your name, our names might be on the lips of Jesus. And he's sharing it to the Lord, saying, look at what my child did today at Walmart or Sears Western Shack or the restaurant. Amen? All right, as we go to the Lord in prayer, I'm going to ask Brother Perry, if you don't mind, to come to the podium and lead us in our closing prayer.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're thankful for this message today, and it reminds us, Father, that you've birthed your church here to be part of your co-laboring. Father, you love every lost individual, and we're still, Father, in the world. The harvest is still great. The labors are few. May, Father, we again take upon ourselves to be an instrument of your glory and to go and to reach as many for Jesus Christ as we can. Father, we know that you're the light that shines through us, that, Father, can shine the darkness away. We thank you, Father, that for the commitment we have is really the commitment you put in our hearts. I thank you for this message that he's given. You are a great God, great wisdom, great love. And over these thousands of years, you're so calling, Father, for people for your name's sake. Father, may we leave here, Father, with the joy of the Lord in our hearts, knowing, Father, every situation we go through, Father, is temporal. But one day, Father, we'll sit down with him who is eternal. And, Father, rejoice forevermore. Bless each and everyone here. Meet needs mightily because you can. Lift us up, Father, and use us for thy glory. And we'll be apt to give all the honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom name we pray. Amen.